Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We started recording now. And today's class is about continuing the name of Allah al-Wakil. We said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a very intelligent, very smart, very professional plan.
Oh yeah, because of that.
Now, as we know, the Arab lords couldn't kill him because they were afraid of a civil war. Because what happens in the tribalism, if one from one tribe is killed, his tribe will always ask for his blood.
And will always take a war.
If not, they go to war. So they wanted to do it in such a way war can't take place. So what they did, we got 40 people from 40 different tribes, strong tribes. And then they had plans when the Prophet exits the door. All 40 of them will kill him. So now, the family of the Prophet, which is the tribe of the Prophet, clan of the Prophet, will say, are we going to be able to fight 40 different tribes?
No.
No. Then what's the solution is, accept the monetary compensation. Like they pay them like 100 camels or something like that. Say, okay, now this is enough for your son. There was one stupid Arab leader was telling Abu Abdul Muttalib, he's the uncle of the Prophet, was telling him something funny. He was telling him, you give me your Muhammad, I kill him, and I give you my son. Replace him with Muhammad. So I give you my son to replace with Muhammad, and you give me Muhammad to kill. So Abu Talib said, may Allah curse you. I give you my son to kill, and you give me your son to feed. See how ridiculous this argument is? Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ made a very strong plan, very good plan, very sophisticated plan. But the plan came to failure. He was suddenly surrounded by these 40 men. The biggest unknown in any plan is the future, right? How would he know that he will be surrounded by 40 soldiers? This is something that can't be known, because it even was a plan that wasn't heard of until the Prophet already started to migrate. So he didn't know that. When he woke up in Fajr and tried to go out of the house, he suddenly saw 40 soldiers. Come here, Lina. Come here. 40 soldiers. Foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder, with swords like that.
Really?
Yeah, surrounding the house, around the house. So there's no way he can go anywhere. Now the Prophet becomes desperate. What's the meaning of the desperate? The key word is desperate. You need to really keep this key word in mind. You can sit over here. Got it? Keep this word in mind. What is the name of the word?
Desperate.
That's the key word. When you are desperate, it means you have done everything you can do. There is nothing that you could have done and you did. Yet, your plan failed. So, we know what happened. 40 different guys. We know. What happened? There are seen soldiers. There are two kinds of soldiers. They are seen soldiers and there are unseen soldiers. Good. The seen soldiers are available to everybody, but the unseen soldiers are available to who? Only the ones that Allah wants.
Wait, what?
Okay, the seen soldier, the unseen soldiers. So what was the unseen soldier that Allah used to get his bail out, his prophet? He made them, the first unseen soldier was sleep. Was what?
Sleep.
That's an unseen soldier. Sleep is in the hand of Allah. He can make you sleep now. Okay, so Allah made them sleep. And it wasn't any sleep. It was deep sleep. It's like they are really, really, really sitting on a very comfortable bed. And then the prophet did what? Did he open the door and ran? No. He took around the lighthouse with the dust. And he started pouring dust, saying that an ayah that says that your plans is nothing like dust. Dust, dust, dust. You got that? Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the soldiers of Allah available only when the person becomes desperate. When a person is desperate, when this person tries, it's very important. When this person tries to do everything in his ability or her ability, and he ran out of things to do. Alas, yani, there's nothing else that can be done. Then Allah comes with a miracle. Again, it's the laws of nature. So, the laws of nature are always governing, except when Allah wants. Is it the law of nature that 40 soldiers sleep deep, sleep together when they are standing like that? Is it part of the laws of nature and together?
You can sleep standing.
Well, see? That's not the laws of nature. That's an outside of the law of nature. That's an outside. Why Allah put them there? So that's his first unseen soldier. The second unseen soldier, when they were able to track the Prophet to the cave of?
Thor.
Thor, which means bull. Which means bull.
To which cave.
And then?
What?
They were hiding and hiding down in the cave. And if anybody will look down like there, look in the cave down, they will see him. They will see them. To the level that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his companion, which is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet immigrated alone. True or false? False. Who was companion? His companions?
Abu Bakr
as-Siddiq. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was so scared and he said, if we look down, they will see us. He said, don't worry, Abu Bakr. Allah, we are two. There are three of us. There are three. Two of us and Allah is the third. What do you think about a group of three? Two of us and Allah is the third. So he calmed him down. Because if Allah is the third, that's it. You don't need anything else. So what happened is that usually when you look at something, you see it. Right? That's the usual. Maybe you can put your eyes in the dark until you get used to the dark, and then you can see in the dark if you're coming from a bright place. But guess what happened? They looked at them. Maybe they looked them in the eye. They looked at them and they did not see them. Allah blinded their eyes. Is that a law of nature or this is a miracle? Is that law of nature or is it a miracle? It is a miracle. You got it? Okay. So now what is the third? That's a second failure. So what is the third failure? Remember, every failure makes the Prophet desperate. Allah comes in with a miracle. And that miracle is the unseen soldiers of Allah. The first one was sleep. The deep sleep. And then the second one was blinding the eye. When Prophet, the second failure.
Don't erase that in your notebook.
Now, the third failure. So what is the third failure? The third failure when Suraqah, a guy called Suraqah. You remember that name? Suraqah. So Suraqah was able to track the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his path traveling to Medina. He was able to catch up with him. And then he's a guy that was desperate for the 100,000, for the 100 camels they offered. I don't think it's 100 or 500, or don't remember exactly, but most likely 100 camels. You know, one camel is what today's worth. So this is like, one camel is what, $1,000? So 100 camels is $10,000, something like that, I guess. So 100 camels So he was so desperate to get this amount. So he kept looking and looking and looking and looking and trying here and trying there until he caught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suraqa ibn Malik. Suraqa ibn Malik. Suraqa ibn Malik. So now the Prophet plan failed. Here's this guy, he wants to take them. So the guy said, when he saw them, he got the sword. And then he got started riding his horse. And suddenly, before arriving to the near the Prophet, he found himself in a quicksand. So when it's a quicksand, the horse started sinking, and he fell from the back of the horse, and he started sinking. This is an unsung soldier, right? Because the Prophet was desperate. He did everything he can do. And Allah will save him with miracle because he was desperate. So now the guy is on the ground. So the guy said, okay, Ya Muhammad, why don't you pray to your God to save me and I will leave you alone? So the Prophet Muhammad said, Ya Allah, save him. So when the Prophet did that, the horse is up and the guy is up. And the guy riding the horse. And then he turned back and he started leaving. In his way back, he remembered the 100 camels. You know that cartoon thing when your eyes turn into dollars? So the guy's eye turned it into dollars. Okay? It turned it into dollars. And he remembered that, so he went back to the Prophet. Attacking from a different direction. And before he arrives even close to the Prophet, what happened?
Quicksand.
Quicksand again. And he and his horse are sinking. Boy. Okay, so the Prophet said, Ya Muhammad, pray for Allah. Pray for your God. So Prophet Muhammad prayed and the guy got up and started walking back.
Again.
Again, his eyes turned into dollars. He remembered the candid camels, the money, and then he started running back towards the Prophet. And then what? From a third different direction. Then what? Quicksand again. Was this quicksand there? No, Allah made it quick just for him. The Prophet and Abu Bakr just passed through it. Okay. And when Prophet Muhammad prays to Allah, he and this horse get up and walk out. So Allah made this end quick. That's the soldier of Allah. The making this end quick. Okay, here we go. So that's the third failure. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just make sure you know this, your head up is out. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last time he said, Ya Prophet Muhammad, third time, Ya Muhammad. So he said, before he said, praised Allah, he told him, Ya Suraqa, what if I tell you that if we let us go, now the guy is desperate for the 100 camels, so he has to promise him something precious. If you let us go, I promise you the bracelets of the Persian king, the Persian empire, the emperor of the Persian empire. The bracelets, they were very well known to be the most expensive piece of jewelry ever existed at that time. The bracelets. So to have this means you have a tremendous fortune. So he said, what if I promise you that you're getting them? He said, fine. He said, deal. So the Prophet prayed for him. The sand stopped being quick. He's able to get up, his horse is able to get up, and he walked away, he never come back. Okay? Now, let's analyze this situation here. The Prophet is fugitive. He's fugitive, and he's running for his life. Now, he's running for his life, and he's very weak. And he's promising the bracelets of the emperor of the Persian Empire, superpower. Isn't that, yeah, I know, amazing.
Wait, can you stop right there? Does anybody have any questions so I can catch up on my notes? Please. Any questions? Thank you. Go ahead.
My mom was telling me that there was a surah on this, but then it said that in the Quran, it said that it was a spider web.
No. Trust me, no. There is a scholar called Al-Qaradawi. He's one of the very prominent scholars in Islam, and he's very knowledgeable, and he traced the narrations of the web spider on the cave on the entrance and the bird. He traced this narration, he found that it's baseless. It does not have any basis. So it's just like somebody who's fanatic, sort of fanatic, made it up, and people emotionally took it and spread it. But it's not narrated by anybody that has no authentic narrations. You know how in Islam we do witnesses that witness the narrations, and you keep, where did you hear it from? Hear it from this guy. Go to this guy. Where did you hear it from? This guy. It's called chain of narration. And they followed it. They found its ending nowhere. Okay. Anyway, it's not the...
Any more questions?
Yes.
Give the bracelets of the emperor of the Persian Empire to Suraqah, the one who was attacking him. Now you tell me, isn't that very, very odd to promise him such a thing when the prophet is in a miserable condition running for his life? It is odd. Now, it's close to impossible. It's very difficult to imagine. Now, why did Suraqah believe it?
Because he was gullible.
Because he's what?
Gullible.
Gullible means?
That you believe everything.
No, he's not a believer.
Because Allah saved him from the quicksand 3 times.
Perfect!
Oh.
He saw by his own eyes himself sinking in the quicksand 3 times and being saved by the Prophet Muhammad praying 3 times. So, after that, you didn't have any doubt that this person is saying the truth. And this person is really, really a prophet who's being protected by Allah. So he gave it up because that's what he felt.
Is it just me, or do these things, like the quicksand and stuff, happen 3 times? Like, exactly. Because remember the story of the girl and the pharaoh? And then, like, the freezing of the hand, and he's like, okay.
Yeah,
like, humankind really.
You can something that we're not sure about, we can say about 3 times. Like, I did not investigate it, so I can't say it's 3 times for sure. But you say about 3 times, or maybe 3 times, or you can say several times. You can say several times, and the last time you did this. Okay. Now, when did the Suraqah got the bracelets? Huh? Yes. After the Prophet...
The bracelets of who?
The Emperor of the Persian Empire. So, here we go. At the time of Abu Bakr, there was no war between the Arab, the Muslims, and the Persians. Abu Bakr stayed ruling 3 years. Then after the 3 years are over, the giant of Muslim Ummah, which is Umar, he ruled for 10 years. During these 10 years, Muslim conquered both the Persian Empire and
the
Roman Empire, the two superpowers,
right.
Within few months of each other. So when they... In order to conquer the Persian Empire, there was a war called War of Al-Qadisiyah. Just imagine, the Persian army had elephants. And these elephants were not zoo elephants. They are war elephants. You know, war elephants are not, zoo elephants are nice and they play with you. But war elephants are trained to kill. Okay? So the Arab have never seen an elephant war with, have never gone to a war with elephants anywhere, before, anytime. Not only that. It is. Oh, yeah. Not only that, but also even more than that. You know the hooks that you drop to the bottom of the that connect to the ship and drop in the water to fix the ship in place? Anchors, yeah. They have these anchors made of steel and they put them on fire. Fire until become like red, like charcoal. They become like charcoal and they are very, very, very hot. Got it? And then what they do, there are so many of them. They throw them very far away behind the Muslim front line. And then they started dragging them. While they are dragging them, they bring with them Muslims killed. Because it burns and kills Muslims and drag them. And then you can't. You're fighting and you have like 50, 60 hooks coming around you. And you're fighting, you're busy, boom, boom.
This and when they conquered the Persian Empire, like a couple, like 5, 10.
I'm coming. You about 20 years. Yeah, about 20 years.
10.
20. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I didn't get the hook part. Wait, what about the hooks? Did you say?
The what?
The hooks. What about?
Oh yeah, the bad guys, the Persians. They have hooks. They put them on fire for a long time until they become red. And then they have ropes attached, and ropes of steel attached. And then they throw them in the Muslim army, and then they grab them. So they bring with them dead Muslims. And then it's not done with only one hook. Like thousands of hooks are being thrown and dragged, thrown again and dragged. And they are all burning, you know, like if it touches a person, it burns. It burns the person. It cuts the person by burning, you know? So they people die. And this is in addition to the war elephant. Now, Muslims could not handle the war elephant. Didn't know what to do. But they came up with a smart plan to use the war elephants against their enemy. Look at this plan. Look at this beautiful plan. What they did is that they would hold their sword and sit on their horses like this. They wouldn't ride the horse like that. Dirigin, 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 dirigin. No. They ride a horse like this. Okay? And then they will hold their sword like that. And they come very, very close from the war elephant and cut the trunk. Yeah, the elephant trunk. The elephant nose or trunk. And they did that with every single one they can put them on. Of course, it's almost suicide that you come so close from the elephant to cut the trunk. Many Muslims were killed before arriving there. When you arrive there, there are people who can shoot you from the top. The elephant can kill you. In order for you to arrive so near to the elephant to cut the trunk, that was beyond imagination. Nobody ever had this courage before. Because the Muslims were fighting to die, and the enemies were fighting to live. So Muslim didn't care. He said, well, yeah, if I die, I'm shaheed. Dirgin, 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 comes onto the elephant. Now what happens to the elephants when their trunk was cut? So everybody on the elephant back was thrown on the ground, and then the elephant would turn around and run. Guess when he was running, he was what?
Other people.
Exactly. Ruining the lines behind them and killing their own people.
How many people?
I would guess several will try before one of them is successful. I would guess 4 or 5, probably. Maybe 4, one in each corner, or maybe 2, you know. But elephants is really, war elephants are really humongous. Humongous and trained to kill. So, you got it? So Muslims, once Muslims conquered Persian Empire, they took the bracelets off Kisra and sent it to Umar ibn al-Khattab. I'm sorry, yeah, Kisra. Kisra. Kisra is the version of the name of the emperor of the Persian Empire. His name is Kisra.
Okay, the emperor?
Yes, that was his name. Kisra. So they got his bracelets and they sent it back to Umar ibn al-Khattab. As soon as Umar ibn al-Khattab got his hand on the bracelets, he called on the people. Oh, you people, where is Suraqa ibn Abi Malik? Get Suraqa ibn Abi Malik to me here. So Suraqa ibn Malik came. He said, Ya Suraqa, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam promise you in the day of Hijrah when you were chasing after him? He said, he promised me, if I leave him alone, he will give me the bracelets of Kisra. He said,
at this point, Suraqa was a Muslim, right?
Suraqa? Yes. He was a
Muslim.
Yeah.
What?
No, that was later.
This is like 20 years later.
20 years later. He got the bracelets 20 years later. So Umar said, these are the bracelets of Kisra. They are used for the promise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be true. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous, you know, gorgeous, amazing story. طيب. So now we talk about you understand these unseen soldiers. The unseen soldiers are in the hands of Allah alone. Maybe the human soldiers are not in the hands, maybe in the hands of the people. Like I'm a soldier, like I'm the leader, I'm the general, and those guys, those soldiers are under my control. They listen to what I say, right? But the special or the unseen soldiers are soldiers that is not under the control of any human. They are under the control of who? Allah. And you get them when you do your part to the level of becoming what? The key word is?
Desperate.
Desperate. You've tried everything and you could not do it. Then these unseen soldiers would come in. And there is another appearance of the unseen soldiers. During the battle of Al-Khandaq, Al-Ahzab. Do you know the battle of Al-Ahzab or the battle of Al-Khandaq? The trench battle?
Yeah.
Anybody knows about this battle?
Huh? I better not see you with any heads up. I'm being dead serious. This is a lot to write.
Take a break from writing and take a break, and we don't have to write everything. So far until here is good. Okay. Now, the laws of nature. The laws of nature are the normal expected things to happen. However, the laws of Islam depends on the people, how they do it. Let me check on this. In the battle of Al-Khandaq, the Arabs gathered 10,000 soldiers. How many?
10,000
soldiers. And then they went to surround Muslims in Medina and to finish all of them, once and forever.
Once and for all?
For all, yeah. Once for all. So what happened is, Salman al-Farisi, the Salman from Persia, he was one of the companions, and he said to the Prophet, this is Medina. He said to the Prophet to build a trench. And here there were mountains. Okay? Muslims were so scared because they were surrounded. Inside the Jewish tribes, and outside are the enemies. So they were so scared that they will be finished. All of the Muslims will be killed. They were so scared of that. So they came up with the idea of the trench. They built the trench. Now, the story is long, and I will not go into details of that story. 10 minutes left. We're not going to go into details of this story, but I want to use it as, because Allah said in the Quran that He supported the Muslims with unseen soldiers in this situation. There are two situations where Allah mentioned in the Quran that He supported the unseen soldiers. The first situation is in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah talks about Abu Bakr talking to the Prophet, for being afraid, talking to the Prophet, saying, we're right here. If one of them looks down like that, they will see us. And Abu Bakr said, no, Allah with us. So Allah supported him with unseen soldiers. This is the first place in the Quran that Allah mentioned the unseen soldiers. The second place of the Quran where Allah mentioned the unseen soldiers was the Battle of the Trench. Why?
What was the first place?
The first place? And then when believers were standing on the standard on the cave of Thawr looking, Allah made them blind. This is the first unseen soldier. This is one of the unseen soldiers situation, or the first situation in the Quran. The second situation in the Quran is during the Battle of the Trench. Guess how Allah aided or supported the Muslims with unseen soldiers. Allah, something physical.
Oh.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Wasn't there also that battle where heads came flying off with nobody touching them?
No.
No, it was in the...
This is in the Battle of Badr.
Yeah, that's unseen soldiers.
But it's not mentioned in the Quran. I'm talking about the two places in the Quran where the unseen soldiers are mentioned. And the second, Allah is saying that, what happened? What are the unseen soldiers? Allah sent on the camps of the bad people, the bad guy. Allah sent on their camps. Very cold, freezing cold wind. Freezing cold wind. And very, very strong storm. Very strong storm. The storm... ruined their camps, tormented their camps. The cattle ran away. The tents are all flew in air. And everybody's tormented. And they got so, so scared.
There was a video on this.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to follow
up? I don't think so.
It was a good movie, though.
Yeah.
What movie?
There's a movie about the Battle of the Trench.
Yes. Yeah. It's very good. And so it was all gone. So they got very scared. So that's the third soldier. So the first soldier is the strong storm. Second, cold weather. Third, Allah made them scared. So when they got scared, they immediately left. And Allah saved the believers from the horrors of a battle against 10,000 people. You got it? This is why we say, وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَهُ. He defeated the Ahzab all by himself, when we're talking about Allah. What if we have two groups that are non-Muslims, or two groups that are not non-Muslim, two groups that are bad guys fighting together, not righteous, two groups that are not righteous fighting together. Do they have any access to the unseen soldiers? No. Would Allah make it available for them? No. What happens in this case is that in this kind of situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them prevail based on the laws of nature. So, who got more weapons?
What?
Allah, if a group of two people, and both groups are not righteous. Not righteous. So, you understand what I'm saying here? If there are two groups that are not righteous, bad guys fighting bad guys, which one wins?
None.
Perfect. Perfect answer. The ones who have better weapons, better soldiers. Better weapons, better soldiers, and some luck. Okay? You got it? So,
sorry, guys. I know you may not have space on your bed. Let's put my little stars and then put it on the side of the paper.
You can erase this.
Well, not ours.
Yeah. This is all I need. Okay. You got that part? Germs?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is why Umar ibn al-Khattab said, our source of strength is Islam. If Allah takes away Islam, if we abandon Islam, then we will go back to be weak and worthless people.
Literally made out of dirt.
Yeah, worthless people. Do you know that? You won't believe that. But historians are saying, if we're not sure that the story of Muhammad is true, we would not believe how could Muhammad, they say Muhammad, how could Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm saying Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they said, how could Muhammad in 23 years build a super righteous superpower? Remember that. It's called righteous.
Oh, I got it.
Righteous superpower. So, what was the final product of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A righteous superpower. What is the difference between a righteous superpower or other superpowers? The righteous superpower is fair and just and protects the weak against the strong. Now, what about the other superpowers that they don't have righteousness with them? Then they use their power to oppress others and to take away their money and their slave them and take their money away from them. So the product of the Prophet Muhammad after 23 years was a righteous superpower. How strong this righteous superpower? We compare the strength of this righteous superpower with the strength of the two superpowers at this time, which were the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. This righteous superpower that
what's
the Prophet Muhammad built.
In your words, what's a righteous superpower?
Yes.
What is it?
Righteous superpower.
No.
The main product of Prophet Muhammad that he built, a righteous superpower.
Define righteous superpower.
It's the where the power is used to for righteous causes. And in one righteous superpower, the power is used to slave others. Take away that thing. Okay? You got it? Okay. So now, the historians, and this is unbelievable, and I really heard it from many historians, they say it is unbelievable how could Prophet Muhammad build his superpower in 23 years? How could he take the Arabs And the Arabs at that time, pre-Islamic Arabs, were really not any better than scumbags. We call them scumbags because they were really, they were killing each other for no reason. They were burying alive their baby daughters. They would treat statues and images the way Allah should be treated. They were awful. For any ridiculous reason, they can go to war together. Like there was a 40 years war that finished both tribes. Okay? They finished each other. They killed each other and finished each other. Based on a camel race. A camel race.
Really?
Yeah. This came out of a camel race. Do you believe that?
Maybe we'll tell you that story later on in the year, but we don't really have time.
Yeah, no, actually, it's not the story. It's just as simple as this. They went into 40 years war that finished all of them just because of a camel race. Okay? This is how the scumbags, which are the Arabs before Islam. Okay? Now, after Islam, they become civilized. They become organized. They become respectful to their leadership. They become totally different. So how could the Prophet take these Arabs, and she transformed them into a righteous superpower? And the answer is,
guys, anybody awake here?
Yes, he's a prophet of Allah. Now, the guys, historians say it's a miracle. And then they don't say this miracle happened, because they say it is impossible for a man in the age of time of Prophet Muhammad dealing with those scumbags could transform them into super righteous superpower in 23 years. The laws of nature fail to explain that. That's way beyond the laws of nature. That's way beyond anybody to believe. But they said, we know it for sure. And then they started thinking. When they asked the Muslims say, we know. It's because Prophet Muhammad is prophet guided from God. So, easy. No, they started going around. They said he, because he was a charismatic leader, he was a smart military leader, he was a smart charismatic social leader, he had a lot of good things about him. And lots of good things in the same person. Thanks for this part. I need
it. Have it.
Okay? You got that part? Now, they also say, if it wasn't Islam, the Arabs would have been heard of in the history. And the Arabic language would have been buried. Because they would just finish each other, and then their culture will die. Their culture will die. And they will finish each other. And the language will die. And then he said, the only thing that preserved the Arabic language and made it alive until today is the Quran. If the Quran was not written in Arabic, the Arabic language would have disappeared. And by the way, why did Allah, just curiosity, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last thing, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet to come from the Arabs? Was it a smart, intended choice by Allah? Yes. What was different than in the Arabs that made them the best fit? Think about it, and next week we can talk about it a little bit. But we're not going to talk about it a lot. Just a little bit. Not very useful.
This is a really good job.